This is Mythical.
Is your child struggling with a specific subject or need help with homework? Are they asking questions that you're not sure you can fully answer? IXL Learning is an online learning program for kids. It covers math, language arts, science, and social studies. IXL is designed. This program will improve your kids' grades. Studies done in almost every state in the country, the kids who had IXL are consistently doing better. Powered by advanced algorithms, IXL gives the right help to each kid no matter the age or personality. And it doesn't have to eat up all your time. One subscription gets you everything for all the kids in your home, pre-K to 12th grade. So don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 95 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/audio. Visit IXL.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
The average American child consumes 1,500 PB&J sandwiches before they turn 18. That number has roughly nothing to do with the podcast. I just really want to know whose job it is to track child sandwich consumption. Anyways, we're talking about the best PB&J combos, because this is a hot dog is a sandwich.
Ketchup is a smoothie.
Yeah, I put ice in my cereal, so what?
That makes no sense.
A hot dog is a sandwich.
A hot dog is a sandwich.
What? Welcome to our podcast, A Hot Dog is a Sandwich, the show where we break down the world's biggest food debates. I'm your host, Josh Scherer.
And I'm your host, Nicole Anaiti.
And Nicole, today we're talking about tracking child sandwich consumption.
So okay.
When you, like, do you just put the tags on
four.
The kids' ears?
Four.
And then, what do you, what?
The answer is four.
What, four? You have four children that you're tracking their sandwich consumption habits?
Maybe. I do not want to
get
sued.
Who are these kids? Where did you
Don't
find these? Are
it.
They? Do you know them?
You ask way too many questions, man. This doesn't happen, Captain.
Hey, speaking of questions, Nicole, how do you feel about PB&Js?
I love peanut butter and jelly sandwiches, except mine, I know, is going to be a little bit controversial.
Controversial?
I already know people are going to be up in arms, like, what? What are you talking about, lady?
I saw you make a you made a PB&J about half an hour ago in the kitchen for quote-unquote research.
Yeah.
And I hated what you did with it.
I had to get in the right frame of mind for the podcast. You know how, like, people, they do push-ups before, like, they go, like before they lift. Oh, Josh, yeah.
Yeah, no, that's me. Josh. That's exactly what I do.
You know, people do push-ups, so they look really veiny on camera. Ahem, Josh here.
Yeah, I have an old grease bucket that I do bicep curls with, and then I do a couple different grip style of push-ups to activate different parts of my chest. That's normal.
So I just ate a PB&J, and Josh got really offended when he saw that I folded a single bread in half.
Yeah.
To eat my sandwich.
If you want to make half a PB&J, which is something I often want, just a little a little lanyap in between the day.
Mm-hmm.
That's a great word, lanyap.
What does that
mean? Yeah, I don't know. It's like a Southern Creole word, I think. It just means like a little nosh.
Okay.
A lanyap. Anyways, you want a little lanyap in the middle of the day, and if you want a half a PB&J, I refuse to fold the bread over, and I will actually cut down the middle to create two separate halves of the bread. Because unlike a hot dog that has the bread hinge, I think when you have that in a PB&J, it messes up the ratios.
I don't agree with you at all about the messed up ratios. What do you mean the ratios?
A PB&J has to be, to me, on two separate slices of bread. I've made plenty of PB&Js on hot dog buns.
Sure.
You know, I'll eat whatever.
Same, yeah.
But my ideal, it has to have the same equal ratio on every single bite. That's important to me.
But
that's
Josh,
like part of my comfort. PB&J is such a comfort food. I have
so
many
boring.
Weird little emotions. A PB&J should be boring. I don't want to be excited by my PB&J.
Boring?
I want to be comforted. I want the PB&J to hug me from the inside out the way my father never did. Anyways,
Josh.
Nicole, what is... We just weren't a touchy family. It's cool. We showed love in our own ways. You said... Sorry. Let's get back to the topic at hand. Mm-hmm. You said your ideal PB&J combo, because that's what we're talking about here.
Okay.
What's the bread? What's the nut butter?
Okay.
What's the jam?
Okay.
Your ultimate. What are you going with?
My ultimate number one most delicious peanut butter and jelly combo is Oro Wheat whole wheat bread. Number one, which is already, people are going to be up in arms like, why isn't it white bread? Because I grew up in a house that I had to be healthy in front of my mom.
Yeah, we grew up in that era.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Number two.
Low-fat cottage cheese and Oro Wheat whole wheat bread from the Costco that was sold in two packs.
True.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, the jam. Mine is Smucker's raspberry preserves with the seeds.
Oh, you like the, I get it. You don't like it boneless?
No.
You get the raspberries with the bones in them?
I need the crunch. I need to know I'm eating a real fruit. You know what I mean?
No,
the
disagree.
Jelly, the jelly, it's just fruit juice. It doesn't do it for me. Again, mm-hmm. it's that health. It's that weird, like, health, like, nod that I'm, like, doing.
I know what you mean. It's like getting the lemonade that has, like, 3% real juice in it.
Yeah.
And you're like, what is that gonna do?
Yeah.
You know? But, yeah,
and
I feel that.
My peanut butter, you know, I've said it time and time again. It's Laura Scudder's.
The main girl, Laura Scudder.
So that's my typical PB&J. And it is typically on one piece of bread that I fold over.
Mm-hmm.
And then, really controversial, Debbie actually taught me this. Shout out to Debbie.
Shout out to Debbie.
Debbie taught me that if you put the bread with the peanut butter on in the toaster oven, the top gets like crackly and then melty, and then you put your jelly on it and it's
oh no, you're a toaster.
No, I don't toast my bread. I toast the peanut butter. And the bread is nice and soft, but the peanut butter gets nice and toasty.
Yeah, the peanut butter sort of melts and it gets into the crevasses of the bread.
It makes it, so it creates this like skin, almost like pudding.
Okay.
And then melty in the middle. And then you just put like a dollop of the jam, and it's just delicious.
What kind of ratios are you working with, peanut butter to jelly?
I don't know.
I know people talk about that.
Yeah,
I don't either.
I never think about the ratios.
It's intuitive.
It's however I'm feeling. Like one day I want, you know, I want more peanut butter. One day I want like, you know, my bread to be a little bit flatter, so I kind of like squeeze it down. Like it just depends. Maybe it's the butt of the bread.
Oh no, you throw that away.
No.
You throw away the butt of the bread. No, you save the butt of the bread for like
croutons.
You know, no, not even croutons. I'm saying for like the end of the week. I always have my like end of the week meal, which is typically like Sunday afternoon before I go shopping again,
mm-hmm.
where it's like, let's clean everything out of the fridge. We're just going to throw it into a pot.
Uh-huh.
We're going to do whatever. That's when the bread heels come out to play.
Nice.
Where I'm like, I got an old can of tuna and some vegetable scraps. We're mashing that together, reheating it with a bread heel.
Yeah.
But other than that, I will never make a PB&J on a bread heel.
Okay. And this is my honorable mention. Grape jelly Uncrustable. Numero dos.
That is, man, there's something about Uncrustables that I can't stand. The peanut butter is so gummy and hard.
Oh.
I know. I didn't grow up on them because they were like too expensive.
I am having a moment here. I love Uncrustables so much.
Why? What is it about Uncrustables for you?
They're so bad for you.
What do you mean they're bad for
they're
you?
They're just bad. The bread is fake.
I think they're like generally bad for society.
The bread is fake. The peanut butter is fake. The jelly is fake. But it's so... You want to talk about being hugged from the inside? That's an Uncrustable. Being hugged from the inside is
I guess that's how I feel about like a ham and cheese hot pocket or specifically a breakfast lean pocket.
Well, you know better
that's
than
that's pure comfort.
Yeah.
For me.
Yeah, Uncrustables.
Okay, so your ultimate PB&J, you're going Oro Wheat, whole wheat, raspberry, Smuckers, preserves with the seeds in.
I think it's preserves with the seeds,
I think it's preserves, yeah. And then the Laura Scudder's peanut butter. Toasted, just the peanut butter toasted, so it melts into the crevasses
of
the bread.
I don't do that as much as I used to, but like if I'm feeling like hella nostalgic, mm-hmm. that's what I'm doing, yeah.
What I love about your PB&J, it might be a bit controversial. A lot of people might go under bread. I don't really know, but I agree with you on the wheat bread. But I love that there's a common theme throughout your whole PB&J,
uh-huh.
which is like... A little illusion of like health.
Yes, 100%.
Right?
Thanks,
like there's
Mom.
Every single level of it because Laura Scudder's, that's like the OG, like quote unquote natural peanut butter.
Yeah.
That you get in stores, one mm-hmm. that you gotta stir for like 3 freaking minutes, which is why I avoid it like the plague.
I still have it in my fridge.
The jam with the seeds in because you're like, well, it's basically a fruit.
Yeah.
And the whole wheat bread, which has almost no, they've like done studies and found out that the whole wheat bread in stores and the white bread. Are pretty much your body reacts to it almost completely identically.
There's a tiny bit more. Don't tell Shala. There's more fiber.
Don't tell me. There's a little bit more fiber, but I think it's there was Harold McGee did this study. He was the author of Modernist Bread.
Okay.
Where he basically found out that like the nutrients that you find in whole wheat, mm-hmm. especially in grocery store bread, like your people's bodies just aren't deficient of them ever. So it's kind of like pointless. Why we eat it. That said, I prefer the taste of it.
Yeah.
It tastes more like bread. It tastes more bread
it's
than
breadier.
Bread.
Yeah, I think
it's a
think breadier it's the
bread.
Whole, it's the way that it looks.
Yeah.
You know the little nuts and seeds on the outside?
I love the little nuts and seeds.
I think they're just oats.
Yeah. Well, okay, so there's oats on that. So you want me to get into mine?
Go for it. Of course.
So many people took up many hobbies during quarantine.
Uh-huh.
One of mine was trying to build the best PB&J I could.
Really?
Because like I mentioned, it's very much a comfort food for me. Mm-hmm. When I'm feeling a little down, I'll just make a PB&J, you know, have a nice little glass of whole milk or almond milk with it or something.
Mm-hmm.
Even like one of the bites I'll dip in the milk just for, you know, just for laughs.
Can I ask you
just
a
for
question?
Goofs. Yeah.
Do you drink milk out of the carton like a savage?
Yeah, of course.
Me too. Double check. Okay, continue.
And I was also like living alone during this, and so I'd be like shirtless coming back from workout, slamming whole milk.
Wow.
Oh yeah, super fun.
I have an image of what that smells like.
You know, I don't have body odor. I have that gene where you don't have body odor.
Lucky
and your
you.
Earwax is clear and crusty.
Mm.
Yeah, instead of wet and yellow, my earwax is just clear.
I think my mom is the same way.
Really? She and I should hang out. Me and Shella should do a workout
like,
and just
like
not
smell very
together.
Little body hair.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Lucky you guys.
It's nice. Save money on razors. What I did, I got really into like buying all the best nut butters on the Instacart. And so I have found out my absolute ideal PB&J preparation.
Nice.
Starts off Dave's Killer Bread 21 grain.
Oh,
I know
my
what you're saying. Josh, wouldn't you go power seed?
No.
Nah, 21 like power grain. You like the power
that's
seed?
That's fine. That's
too
fine.
Many seeds.
Okay. Well,
too many seeds. 21 grain, though. It's got.
That's enough grains.
That's a lot of grains. I couldn't even name 21 grains, but Dave's Killer Bread puts them on there. And they do great things for hiring ex-offenders and giving them job opportunities.
The whole story of Dave's Killer Bread is just.
Yeah, we'll get into that later. It's awesome. Awesome. And Dave's
Insane.
Killer Bread, they changed the game. They made, because I love Oro Wheat.
Yeah,
I love
too.
The whole Oro Wheat canon of breads. Their double fiber is great. Even
The country potato.
Yeah.
Or whatever it is.
Yeah, the country potato from Oro Wheat. Oro Wheat makes fantastic bread. But Dave's Killer Bread kind of came in. They changed it. They made a wetter bread.
Yeah.
And that's, it's wetter. It's denser. There's even like more calories in it because it's just denser and wetter.
Yeah.
So Dave's Killer Bread, 21 grain. Bon Maman Blackberry Preserves.
Oh, so the jar, the jar that has the checkerboard pattern on the top.
Yup.
Did you know that person who made that jam, I think they like fled Auschwitz or something.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
There's like a crazy story with that one too.
I had no idea.
Crazy story with that.
I should have looked up the stories behind all these brands. All I know is that you get the Bon Maman jam.
Delicious.
That is, it's just a delicious, high quality. And I've gotten all the ones from the farmer's market and the nice
too.
Organics. I've gotten the Harry's Berries, Strawberry Preserves.
Me too.
Nothing for me beats Bon Maman. And this is my fancy PB&J. And then a new brand of peanut butter that I found that's like post Laura Scudder's. Laura Scudder's OG. They're the first. But then you start getting like the Justins of the world. But I found a brand that I really love called Wild Friends. It's got a picture of a squirrel on it.
Uh-huh.
And I use Wild Friends peanut cashew super butter with chia, flax, and honey.
Yum.
And I'll tell you that the flax adds a savoriness to that peanut butter. Flax to me is actually a really delicious flavor.
Can I ask you, is the flax ground in there or
ground.
Are they just whole seeds?
Ground into it.
Yum, yum, yum.
Yummo, right?
That changes
a little
the
bit
game.
Of sweetness. And I don't love alternate nut butters in my sandwiches. Like, I don't love an almond butter and jelly sandwich. I'm not into that. I want the peanut, but I will say the little bit of cashew cutting through the peanut with the flax added to it, a little bit of honey. So good. But that's my fancy version. My normal comfort version is Oro Wheat whole wheat.
Nice.
Double fiber if I got it. Skippy Natural, which is a great product.
I can't not laugh at Natural.
I don't. Natural.
You and Trevor have literally poisoned my pure mind. I hate you guys.
What? But Skippy Natural? Oh,
you
or just the
why.
Term Naturals. Oh,
just
yeah.
The term Naturals.
The big Skippy Naturals out there. No, Skippy Natural. Okay. The term natural should be banned on all food packaging.
I agree.
Because
1 million, that's
it,
false.
Yeah, it means nothing, right? But if you put natural on food packaging, 70% of people think that means quote unquote healthier.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
And natural means nothing. You can use it with impunity. That said, Skippy Natural is better than Skippy Unnatural. It just tastes better.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, you might feel a little bit better about buying it. And then Welch's Grape Jelly. In the grape versus strawberry jelly debate, I'm going grape jelly.
Raspberry.
I don't. Also, do you know this? So Welch actually like invented grape jelly. They like patented in the 1920s.
Oh, cool.
They patented the process to puree Concord grapes and turn them into jelly. Concord grapes, same thing that Manischewitz is made out of.
I love. Yo, one time I made a Concord grape popsicle. Change the game.
Concord grapes are
delicious.
When people say that grapes don't taste like grape candy, they're referring to like red table grapes that they're eating,
exactly.
But Concord grapes do.
Yeah, I agree a million
They
percent.
Taste so purple.
No, for sure. They taste purple.
They taste purple. And also the original name for it was Grape-A-Lade. like marmalade. It was called Grapeolade. And I don't know how we lost that to the sands of history. I'm so mad about that.
I have to ask you a question.
Yeah.
Whenever you're making your PB&J and you're like, oh no, I have naval jam because you're English.
Yeah.
Do you ever like...
I've forgotten the jam, miss.
What do you reach for in like that event? Do you reach for like honey, like marmalade? Like what do you reach for? Because I always reach for the marmalade because it's the closest like...
Dude, when I was a kid, I used to eat peanut butter and marmalade sandwiches. And like
yeah,
now I tried it recently and I don't love it. I love marmalade and butter or something.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Me too.
So I will say... Peanut butter and jelly is actually my alternate sandwich already because my number one is always peanut butter, honey, and banana.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That to me, that is actually the best combination of things. Just fresh banana, got to be like super overripe, not to banana bread kind of squishiness,
sure, yeah.
But like really heavily brown spotted, just some honey drizzled right over the bananas, peanut butter, and then you crush the bread down a little bit to where the honey soaks into the bread.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, that is the best. And then for that, Nicole,
yes.
What I use
you
is-
You wrote this down?
What?
Somebody's prepared.
Yeah, dude, I want to plug the good products. Wild Friends, shout out back to Wild Friends.
Okay.
They have a product. It is a chocolate coconut peanut butter. And so
oh.
It's got coconut oil in it. So like if you put it in the fridge, it gets really hard.
I have the Earth Balance version of that. And I'm obsessed with the coconut peanut butter.
Dude, so freaking
good. So good.
It's like, because I dig on chocolate and banana is a great combo. Peanut butter and chocolate, all of that works together. But I don't love Nutella just because Nutella is so sweet that it's like frosting to me. And I'd rather just have Duncan Hines frosting if I'm going that route.
That's rude.
And so, what? I said it.
You're rude.
No, I just, Nutella, it's not a nut butter. People call it hazelnut, but it's really just
it's chocolate.
Sugar. Yeah, it's delicious. But like, if I want the nut butter, I'm there for the nuts, Nicole. I'm there for the big naturals and the nuts. And
you're gross.
And so
I can't.
You get,
I can't with
so
you.
The nut butter is like not sweetened. You get all the sweetness from the honey and from
I
the
see.
Banana.
Sure.
And then you get this almost like savory coconut chocolate peanut butter.
Delightful.
And that's my number one sandwich. And then once during the quarantine where I was like, yo, let's try and bridge the gap between PB&J and peanut butter, honey, banana. And so I tried to make like a banana jam.
I was just going to ask you, why? How come no banana jam on shelf?
Well, so bananas, a banana jam on shelf is basically Gerber baby food, if you think about it.
So funny.
And if you've ever had Gerber baby food banana, which I have as an adult male, because
yes,
I've tried to break the baby food world record.
You sure did, boss.
And I failed last time, and I'm going to come for it again. But you have to put so much citric acid in it, because fruit, like... Bananas specifically brown really
sure,
heavily,
oxidize
right?
very quickly.
It's why it's hard to have a shelf-stable avocado product. And if they do, it's just plied with citric acid because they need that to get it to not brown. And so banana jam on a shelf would just be this kind of citric acid-y mush type of thing. But that said, I made one at home where I like really caramelized and burnt the bananas. And I hit it with like honey, sugar, and a little bit of almond milk to see if I could get some of that starch from the almonds to kind of thicken.
Okay.
And a little bit of vanilla extract. And that was really freaking good.
That sounds really
but that
good.
Said, I put it in the fridge and it just got like hella brown the next day. And I still ate it because, you know, whatever. Brown's fine. Like, you tried to throw away my salad in the fridge the other day because the avocado was brown.
I'm sorry.
That was a bad move. That was a D move, Nicole.
I'm sorry.
And I
knew
what I did?
You got mad.
I picked
I
it.
Knew you got
I
mad.
Was mad, and I waited till now to bring it up because I dug that salad out of the trash and I ate it.
I felt so
it
bad.
It was closed in the trash and it wasn't covered in much trash. But I ate that salad.
I felt so guilty.
And it was
guilty.
A tender green salad, which means I didn't even enjoy it.
Exactly. I knew you wouldn't
I
like it
anyway. I don't enjoy their food.
Let me give it to you anyways, you trash raccoon.
Yeah. Anyway.
Knowing how to speak and understand a new language can be an invaluable tool when traveling, meeting new friends, or just even to master a new skill. But it's not always simple when you're bogged down by textbooks and structure classes. That's why so many people trust Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. It truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, like Spanish, French, Italian, Chinese, and more. You won't just be studying English translations. The Rosetta Stone intuitive process helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/rs10 today.
Josh, have you heard of a restaurant called PB&J LA?
I sure have heard of it. I've been to PB&J LA multiple times.
I would like to know your opinion on the because I know you're all about the artisanal nut butters and whatnot.
Yes, yes, yes.
These guys do it quite well, in my opinion.
Yeah, so what PBJ LA is, this place opened, God, maybe 5 years ago.
It's been a while.
And I believe the founder of Umami Burger was one of the people behind it. But anyways, they opened.
Adam Fleischman.
Yeah, Adam Fleischman. But they opened this little shack inside this big market in LA where they essentially make gourmet Uncrustables.
Mm-hmm.
They have a machine that they take like this brioche type bread, and you can get, you know, all these different types of nut butters in there, all these different types of specialty jams. And then they have this whole menu of like weird specialty PB&Js, including savory ones. Like there's one with roasted tomato and arugula on it with nut butter.
Yeah, that's the Italian one.
Yeah, there's one. There's like an Indian one with like a mango chutney and like a curry peanut butter.
I've had almost all of them and I love it.
There's one that's like an old fashioned one, right?
They have an old fashioned one. They have a coffee one called the Red Eye.
Espresso mix and the peanut butter. I think it is a very cool concept. And when this place debuted, a lot of people were mad because they're like, $8 for a PB&J, blur, da blur, da blur. And it's like, listen, dude, I'm just trying to pay for happiness, you know? I got money. What else am I going to spend that $8? What, if I spent $8 on a turkey sandwich, would that bring me any more happiness? Probably not. I find happiness in PB&Js.
Yeah.
That said, everything I've had from there, it just didn't taste good in my mouth. And it seemed like they could never figure out the gourmet Uncrustable.
It's an ambitious ask. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's just an ambitious
And there's a greater metaphor in that, right?
Yeah.
Trying to take something that, by definition, to me, is best when it's, like, heavily processed.
Mm-hmm.
And then trying to turn that artisanal. Because even one of the, right, you talk about Smucker's Uncrustables. The way they make that is they're cutting the crust off the bread, and all they do is they clamp it down to the machine.
Mm-hmm.
And the bread is so sticky and wet and sugary that it sticks together, right?
Yeah.
Like a raviolo al uovo, just sticks together, right? But then when you try and make like an artisanal bread, you know, and try and clamp it together to stick, I remember last time I went to this place, they tried to stick the bread together and I took one bite and then the whole thing just opened up and like gobs of artisanal jelly ended up on my pants.
Oh, man.
Yeah, and I had to take the subway back and I just had jelly in my pants and it was a bad time. but no, that's a greater metaphor here. And that's why like I'm glad neither of us for our ideal PB&J were like, you get a nice artisanal brioche from your local French bakery and you slice that. And I've done that.
Sure.
I've done it with like nice, long fermented artisanal breads from like Lodge Bread and tried to make a PBJ. And it just don't taste right.
Yeah, I tried to make it in a pita once. Weird.
Yeah. Oh, I've done a lot of that. I've done a lot of like corn tortilla PB&Js.
I've never done that.
You've never done
Even
that?
I have standards, honey. Snap, snap.
No, because I mean, a lot of the times if I'm like about to go into a workout or something and I haven't had any calories, I'll just like take whatever, like rice cake or tortilla, and I'll just like swipe that in peanut butter, squirt a jelly, get some fat, get some carbs in there, and just kind of ply it into my face.
One time at night, I had like 3 spoons of peanut butter, and then I couldn't breathe, and then I read it, and I looked it up on Reddit, like, peanut butter short of breath, and then...
What?
I thought I was gonna die.
Yeah, do you think I have like a late onset peanut allergy?
No, I thought I was dying because it was literally like stuck in my chest, and I'm like, and I realized that I just ate it too fast.
Wait, I know the exact thing that you're talking about.
Yeah, yeah. You know when you eat too many spoonfuls of peanut butter because you're like, whatever.
It happens when I chug whole milk too fast.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
just the fat kind of sticks in your
like,
gullet.
I was like, what?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
I needed to go. I was about to call my parents and be like, I gotta go to the hospital because I ate too much peanut butter. And then I went on Reddit and they're like, you just ate too much peanut butter too fast. Just breathe it out. I was like,
man.
Thanks, Reddit.
You know what I realized about peanut butter the other day?
What?
That it's one of the like uniquely American foods that I'm like very proud of.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't know if I'd call myself a particularly patriotic person, you know, but like, you know, the Olympics, I'm going to root for America.
I like America.
I've been having a good time here, you know, no place is without its faults. But like peanut butter is one of those things that makes me patriotic.
That's nice.
And I'm like, damn, I'm glad like because a lot of other people hate peanut butter.
Mm-hmm.
So many other cultures around the world have peanuts, right?
Sure.
Peanuts are in Thai food, you know, Chinese food, Vietnamese food. Boiled peanuts are a big thing in for Vietnamese snacking. Peanuts, they grow them in the Inca Empire. And, like, apparently they made peanut paste in the Inca Empire. But it's, like, peanut butter as we know it today is very uniquely American. Also, I thought George Washington Carver invented it.
I was just about to say, shout out to George Washington Carver.
Yeah, general shout out to George Washington Carver for being one of the foremost American agricultural scientists, well, the foremost American agricultural scientist.
Yep.
And developed like 105 different food products out of peanuts. But apparently he was just like 20 years later than when peanut butter was like actually invented and kind of popularized. Mm-hmm. But he made like shampoo. He made like medications out of peanut butter or out of peanuts. He like used peanuts for soil regeneration.
That's
just
nice.
A general shout out. If you don't know a lot about George Washington Carver, just do a quick
Google.
Little lookup. Yeah, Google him. That could explain it better than we ever could. But that said, peanut butter apparently made its like kind of debut as a mass product in the 1904 World's Fair.
Nice. Okay.
And then like it kind of ended up in high society. And so you saw a bunch of weird peanut butter usages.
Okay.
Like at the Vanity Fair tea room, they were serving just like watercress with like a gob of peanut butter. And they're like, maybe this is how you use it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think it's funny how like peanut butter and jelly ended up becoming the big thing. And it's also something that like Europeans just don't understand.
It's just such a good combo.
I think it works.
Delightful. How do you feel about almond butter, sun butter?
Mad about it. Mad
really?
As hell about it.
You don't like almond butter?
I don't like peanuts are the best nuts.
Sign me up.
Even
well,
if
no,
we're
they're
going,
not.
They are. They're not one. They're not even a nut. They're a legume. I know.
Cashew is the best nut.
No, cashews are too fatty. They're too soft. They're a weak nut. Almonds are too hard. They're a cold, unfeeling nut. I want a nice middle nut. Just a nut that rides the line of like, you know, it's just fatty enough. It's got good earthy flavor to it.
Life is about the peaks and the valleys, man. Why can't your nut butter be a peak or a valley?
I don't want that. I want a consistent nut butter. I have so many peaks and valleys in my own life, you know, emotional highs, emotional lows, dealing with unexpected things in life.
Sure.
Just grieving, total elation. I don't want my nut butter. I especially don't want my PB&J to follow any of that pattern. I want that to be my rock.
What are you going to do when your kid has a peanut allergy? You're going to
Oh, man. You know,
what's
I'm just going to I'm going to exposure therapy the kid and then
you
like
can't listen. In schools, you cannot give peanut butter sandwiches. You literally cannot. Like, schools are not free now.
Are we the generation that kills? I know there's been a lot to do about millennials killing, you know, Chili's and Barnes & Noble and all this. Are we going to be the generation that kills peanut butter? We're killing, what, cereal already, right?
So.
Cereal's taking a big downturn.
I think it depends on the allergies. I think more and more kids are getting allergic to things.
Let's just pretend that we're both doctors, because we basically are, right?
I could have done buckets in medical school.
Oh, yeah. I would have probably really struggled
anytime
in that.
Anytime there's jeopardy, you know that the medical stuff,
boom,
you look
alveoli.
At me. You look at me and I answer the medical
boom,
jeopardy question.
Brachial. What is kidneys? What is avuncular breastiosis? Big natural breastiosis. But no, isn't something like kids got peanut allergies today because they haven't been exposed to peanuts or something?
You know, I actually read something about it. And I think it's the way that Americans process peanuts that creates allergies. And a lot of other countries, the way that they like, I think boiling or frying or cultivating, they do it in a different way that creates less of a peanut allergy.
That's been like one of the speculations about gluten intolerance in America, too.
Might just be the way that it's milled and stuff.
Yeah, the fact that we like, I guess, kill flour so early on in the process.
Mm-hmm.
Because a lot of bakers talk about baking with like live flour where the germ is still blah, blah, blah active or something.
The endosperm.
Yeah, that's it. Endosperm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And with all the big naturals and sperm talk. But anyways, that's a lot of the theory of why so many Americans are quote unquote gluten intolerant.
Sure.
And I keep using quote unquote because I don't know that there's any.
I think there's some validation.
Yeah,
in,
I mean,
in
all you can do is take people sort of at their word, right? There's no like mouth swab or you can go like, yes, you are gluten intolerant. But if you're like, I eat bread and my tummy hurts, then it's like, well, yeah, obviously you should stop doing that.
Fun fact. Anything I eat,
I feel like crap all the time.
Yeah.
I could be allergic to so many foods and I don't know it just because I'm always hurting.
I have a fun activity for you.
I realize I'm allergic to bananas.
Josh, can
every time I eat a banana, my mouth hurts and I burp a lot.
But that's your favorite sandwich.
It's my favorite. I'm not going to stop eating it.
Okay, I have a fun activity for you and I to do. One day, Maggie is going to drive us to an allergist and we're going to get allergy tested. Like, have you ever seen like whenever they like, poke your back with like a bunch of different things?
Yeah, yeah.
I think you and I should go do a full conclusive allergy test and find out what we're allergic to and never eat those things ever again.
Oh, no. I'll find out what I'm allergic to, but I'm going to make my own damn decision. Nicole, my body listens to me, okay? I don't take orders from my body. No. The The pleasure center of brain control. We're steering the ship. We're the captain.
But think about the quality of life. If you find out you're allergic to coconut.
I'm going to keep eating the coconut. I really love nata de coco, the little young coconut cubes.
Wow. Every time I get a coconut water, the canned stuff, I try my best to find the one with the cubes because I like the chew. Shout out to my brother for showing me that stuff when I was like 12.
Coconut water with pulp. Yeah. Oh, and wait, I feel like there's some PB&J stuff they didn't touch on. But there's another thing. I would much rather do the allergy panel than do the...
The allergy panel.
Isn't that what it's called?
No, that's what it's called. You're right.
Yeah, I'd much rather do an allergy panel than the other thing, which is systematically removing foods from your diet for like a month.
Yeah.
And then reintroducing them. That sounds like hell on earth to me.
Ugh, I can't.
And I am so sorry to anyone who's ever had to do that because I would die.
I think just the line of work that we're in and just the people we are.
Yeah. And like our general hobbies. Like I take so much joy in just going out and eating all the things I can.
Yeah.
Crunchy or smooth? We already debated this in the podcast.
You know, I love crunchy, but for sandwiches, I'm smooth.
Are you really? You traitor.
But let me tell you what it is. No, Laura Scudder's is crunchy smooth peanut butter.
Oh, I know what you mean. Yeah,
so
the gritty.
Like what? It's gritty.
Yeah, it's a false binary between crunchy and smooth. There's crunchy smooth and there's gritty.
Okay,
and
I like
a good
gritty
peanut butter.
Okay, I like gritty.
I like smooth in certain instances.
I do love Jif, though.
I know. I love a good mono texture. It's like chawan mushi, right? Chawan mushi, the steamed Japanese egg custard.
Oh, yeah, okay.
You know?
Yeah,
you're in it for the texture. It's got a beautiful texture, a flan. That's what I want in my peanut butter.
Yeah, the peanut butter, you can like make like a really nice, like when you get a good scoop of peanut butter, it like,
it's sensual.
It is.
Peanut butter is, the people are sensuous. Peanut butter is sensual.
Josh, what have we learned about each other?
I think we learned that, Nicole, you and I seem more different than we actually are.
Uh-huh.
And really, when we're out here, all we want is a big old jar of Jiffy Naturals, just a big natural peanut butter. And, you know, we want to both feel like we're making the best decisions for ourselves, that we're being like a little bit healthy, you know, we try and practice moderation. You know, you seem to prefer to have seeds stuck in your teeth. I don't like that because I'm always worried that my teeth are going to fall out if a seed wedges in between them.
Mm-hmm.
And that frightens me because I have a lot of stress dreams about going to the dentist.
Okay.
And I think that's it.
You hear that? Your dog knows spring is coming sooner than you think. Dog walks, dog parks, playing fetch, all the stuff your dog loves to do with you. But the warmer weather also means that fleas and ticks are coming back. Fleas and ticks are in the grass, in the woods, and even on their dog friends. Fleas are an itchy nuisance, can easily get into your home, furniture, and beds, which can be terrible. Ticks are even worse. They're hard to spot, but can carry disease and get your dog really sick. PetMeds has your furry friend protected with the best products to prevent flea and ticks all year long. PetMeds pharmacists connect directly with your vet to save you time and deliver the best products for your pet. PetMeds offers low prices on all flea and tick meds, including NexGard, Simparica, and more. And PetMeds AutoShip helps you save even more with additional discounts on regular shipments of PetMeds, dog food, and other high-quality supplies. So get ready for all the spring fun now. Visit PetMeds.com and use promo code PODCAST to save 40% on your first auto ship order. That's PetMeds.com and promo code PODCAST.
Do you wake up in a cold sweat from your work dreams?
Have a coworker who keeps inviting you to do escape rooms?
Can't get a coworker to agree to do escape rooms?
Or are you just genuinely not sure how to take the next step in your career?
I'm Kate.
And I'm Kim. And together we run Amy Poehler's company, Paper Kite Productions.
We've been friends and colleagues for years, so we know how important it is to feel like someone has your back at work.
And we want to be that for you.
So we're hosting a weekly advice show where we answer all your work-related questions.
Something amazing happened. I got offered my dream job.
How am I supposed to bring this up to him without hurting his feelings? What should I do?
I want to like skip the pleasantries without being an asshole.
Careful, money and friends, they don't mix, babes.
They don't. And don't work with your friends, make your friends at work.
All right, I can't believe I'm going to say this, but that was actually $1 million advice.
Whether you need advice or just love to listen to other people's problems, this show is for you.
Listen and follow Million Dollar Advice, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, Nicole, you've heard what you and I have to say. Now it's time to find out what other wacky ideas are rattling out there in the Twitterverse. It's time for a segment we call
Opinions Are Like Casseroles.
Casseroles. You know what we didn't get to talk about during...
Dave's killer bread.
No, okay, yeah. Wait, Dave's killer bread. One, Dave was a multiple-time convicted felon.
I think so.
I believe, and then started, like, selling his bread at farmers markets.
Yeah.
And then now it's, like, the most successful, fastest-growing bread brand in the history of the world?
Looks like it.
Good for Dave. Shout out to Dave.
A true rags to riches.
A true rags to riches. Employees, former felons, everyone deserves a second chance, all that. Prison industrial complex. Number two, World War II.
You didn't get to, you love talking about World War II.
I love talking about World War II's influence
buff.
On food.
Such
yeah.
a history buff you are.
World War II, peanut butter and jelly were in rations because they were both heavily domestic products that they didn't have to import and use extra shipping costs.
Mm-hmm.
So they were not only in rations, but peanut butter and jelly stamps were also in the food stamp book that they gave to like civilians for rations.
Uh-huh.
And so that was a big part in popularizing peanut butter and jelly across America.
That's very
World War II rations. Huh.
Thanks, World War II.
Thanks, World War II. You know, did some bad things specifically to the groups of people that we identify with. Peanut butter.
Yeah, what about...
Hey!
Yeah, there we go.
All right.
Take it away, Josh.
Back to the opinions. First, we got M. Jade McD. Fruit plus cheese is a far more delicious pair than meat plus cheese. This is loaded. Let's analyze the two terms here. We got meat, animal flesh, cheese, fermented titty milk. I think that all milk comes from titties, except almond milk. That's
almond titties.
Have we ever done, should almond milk be called milk?
We should.
We should do that.
We will.
Anyways.
Write that down.
I think meat plus cheese is maybe a bit overrated.
Okay, this is sending me charcuterie vibes.
Yeah.
And, you know, let me tell you, since I've moved in and I've been, like, on my own, I make a mean cheese board.
But do you eat the meats and the cheeses together?
No, because I have a kosher house.
But
when I go out...
Thou shalt not boil the calf in thy mother's milk.
You best believe that I'm going to town on some prosciutto on whatever else.
But do you enjoy the cheese with the prosciutto? To you, do they go part and parcel?
I do, but recently, the more that I enjoy fruit and cheese, like a pear, an apple, a grape, paired with the proper cheese, it's like... phenomenal.
I don't know. Gosh, I don't know. I had a nice fruit salad out at brunch that had like a whipped ricotta on it.
You had a fruit salad?
Yeah, I love fresh fruit, dude. I eat a lot of fresh fruit. That's the
so
thing
good.
That I really enjoy.
Good for you.
Yeah, got big into fruit during quarantine.
Good for you.
I realize I love it. I could just eat bushels of grapes.
Bushels.
Also, Whole Foods, why is grapes so expensive?
Why are you buying your grapes from Whole Foods?
I shouldn't have. It was like
never?
On the way back from like, I was buying a shirt at the mall, and there's a Whole Foods on the way back, and we're like, oh, let's do it. Never whole week's grocery shopping at Whole Foods.
No,
my
no.
God.
No. You got to get your berries from Ralph's or Pavilion's, and then you're going to get the jarred stuff, the good jarred stuff you get from Whole Foods.
Yeah, that makes sense. anyways, what I'm saying is I kind of love all of these things separately. I don't know that I need cheese to touch any of them. Like, I love a cheesesteak, cheeseburger, but that's really only American cheese. I don't get anything out of any other cheese on a cheeseburger other than American.
Really?
Ditto with a cheesesteak. The only cheese I want on it is either American or Cheese Whiz. I don't know if I love a good cheese, but I kind of just like it separately as its own thing. Or like in a salad,
that's
I love.
That's fair.
Cheese on vegetables. Yeah, this is what's not represented here. Cheese on vegetables is the best.
Mm.
And that's what I want. Like, even on pizza, I don't need the meat and cheese together.
Yeah, me either. I'm not the biggest, like, pepperoni or, like, chicken.
I love a vegetable and cheese pizza. And then it's, like, a meat pizza, I don't even need cheese on it. Give me the tomato and the meats and the bread.
Yeah, the idea of a meat lover's pizza honestly makes me, like, low-key sick.
Yeah, it's honestly not my favorite.
It's a lot of meat.
It is not my favorite. Especially pepperoni is such a strong, strong flavor.
I love it, but I'd much rather have a veggie pizza.
Yeah, I don't really get down. You know what? A nice thing, though, is like an apple pie with cheddar baked into the crust. That's a cool dish.
Yeah, that's good.
That's a cool dish.
I'm down with that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. The Josh Foster says, my opinion is that if I had to choose only one food, it would be chicken.
Yeah, agreed. I have the same opinion.
My one food? Frick. It would be pasta.
Yeah, I guess like if you had to live off of one food for the rest of your life, probably beans. Beans are probably
beans.
Best actual answer. As far as like sustaining life.
I think beans.
Complete protein.
I mean,
good carbs, fiber.
My want is pasta. My need is beans.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel that. The thing with chicken, though, if I had to choose one meat for the rest of my life, it would be bone-in, skin-on chicken thigh.
Mine would be probably tuna.
Like, can?
No, any kind of tuna.
I guess you
tuna.
Can can your own tuna.
I can do any kind
tuna.
Of tuna.
What kind of tuna? Are you talking about like ahi? Or are you talking about like a bluefin or
tuna.
Albacore?
Tuna.
Just tuna.
All tuna.
You get mercury poisoning. You die.
Oh, I will?
Sometimes I eat chicken thighs, though, and I'm just like, there's no better meat.
I like chicken thigh too.
What a treat, dude. And you almost can't overcook them.
Yeah, I like chicken breast and chicken thigh.
Chicken breast is good, but you gotta, there's like a 5 degree temp range where your chicken breast is either good or crappy.
I made a mean gochujang chicken the other day.
Yeah, with chicken breast?
Yes.
You brine it?
No.
I don't know.
I marinated it, which you don't believe in too.
I need to issue a retraction. I do believe in marination. I was in a mood when I said that earlier. But brining chicken breast, that's a good time. All right, we got at Blue Cat Silver, warm cake is better than cold cake, melty frosting be damned. Live a little bit. I once tried to pour ganache over a hot cake, and I ended up with like a gallon of ganache just on my kitchen floor, and I was trying to like scoop it back up. I was like, no, my son.
Oh, man.
Warm cake versus, yeah, I think I'd agree with that.
This reminds me of my friend Yvonne Sipos.
Shout out to Yvonne Sipos.
She was so I worked at a chocolate store when I was 19 years old. I was young and I was impressionable. She would just eat like a monster. I loved her. She would warm up chocolate cake and then she would pour Strauss Creamery cream on the cake.
Yes.
And the warm cake
would cake.
The warm chocolate cake would absorb the cream and she would be like, eat this. And I would eat and I'd be like, oh my God, this is one of the best food experiences I've ever had.
Dude, yeah. No, I agree. I do the same thing. I literally microwave cake and I put milk on it.
I love warm cake, but again, the melty frosting,
Have both, like warm cake, maybe you need the frosting on the side.
Yeah, like
a nice room
temp. Chip and dip.
Yeah. I've started eating microwave mug cakes because that's a nice little treat. You just mix.
Are they individual?
What? Yeah. They're little. They're not mine. They're Julia's. But you know, it's one of those things like she'll keep in the house. Like she keeps little pirouette cookies in the house.
Yeah.
You know, aww, the like thin pastry tubes, the chocolate in the middle.
Of course.
Fantastic. And she got a little microwave mug cake.
If she could be a if Julia was any cookie, she would be a pirouette.
Oh,
cookie.
She's such a pirouette.
She is.
She's a step below Milano. Right at the pirouette stage.
She's such a pirouette cookie.
But anyways, these little mug cakes, they're a delight because, I mean, one, a microwave, it's just a steam-powered cooking machine.
Yeah.
So it steams the cake, it stays moist.
So good.
And it's just a hot, steaming little 3 bites of cake at the end of the night.
Yum.
And we split one, and ugh, what a treat. You put a little Ready Whip on it, and it melts into it.
Delicious.
That's a delight. And I kind of hate cakes that are taken straight out of, like, the icebox. Like, that's been a weird trend at LA restaurants. Where fancy restaurants would be like, our retro icebox cake, and it's just like a cold piece of cake, and everything's just hard in it, and I'm like, I don't want it.
LA needs to, like, revamp a lot of its desserts.
Figure it out, yeah. LA. Figure out LA's your desserts. Hire pastry chefs. They do good work.
Yeah. Pastry chefs are very talented. Like, give them their flowers.
That's what I'm saying.
Okay.
Ooh, at Kenzie_Arty, grilled cheese with bacon bits in it is god food. Yes. Correctamundo, because the bacon bits slightly melt and render with the melted cheese. And then bacon bits over bacon strips, because you get bacon in every bite. It's basically a bacon-infused cheese, making it still a grilled cheese and not a melt. I agree. Dip it in ranch. You win.
I don't like bacon in my grilled cheese. No.
What the hell?
It's not for
Nicole,
me.
Nicole, why have you forsaken me?
It's not for me. What are you, God? It's not my thing. I do love a good basil pesto grilled cheese.
Yeah, that's fair.
That's my place.
Bacon grilled cheese, and then you open it up and you put a cold slice of tomato in there. And I don't know if that's a grilled cheese at that point, because we're getting in other territory, but that's a great sandwich in my opinion.
It doesn't do it for me. I can't. Mm-hmm. I can't enjoy it.
I can understand it. Bacon's a really powerful flavor.
Yeah. Sean Patrick Little says Dr. Pepper on Southern Comfort is better than rum and Coke. I think you might be right.
What?
I like Southern Comfort a lot.
Why? Okay.
Who doesn't like Southern Comfort?
The only time I had Southern Comfort was when, let's imagine I was of legal drinking age, because I'm sure I was.
So you were 21?
Of course. And it was outside at like a UCLA tailgate game, and it was just like 100 degrees. And Southern Comfort, it was probably 100 degrees, it was in the trunk,
ugh,
and we're drinking it straight out of the bottle and putting it in one of those like beer drinking helmets, straight Southern Comfort. And so I only have bad associations with it. Also, Southern Comfort technically is not a whiskey. It is technically a whiskey flavored vodka.
Yeah, I'm down.
Great.
I'm down.
Dr. Pepper I don't love as an alcohol mixer either, because there's not enough acid in it.
Okay.
Coke has more acid in it, and I think rum and Coke probably works better than whiskey Coke as well.
I don't like rum and Coke either. I don't like rum and Coke. I like Jack and Coke.
You prefer Jack and Coke?
Is that what it's called?
Yeah. Jack, like whiskey got a little bit more bite, a little bit more spice to it. But I think rum, you get that sweeter palate on it.
I haven't been to a bar in a long time. I don't remember what drinks are called.
Well, I mean, I would never get like a rum and Coke at a bar. I always, you know, gin and tonic is my go. If it's a bar, like a party bar where you're supposed to get you know, a drink like that and you're not supposed to order an actual cocktail?
I don't think I've ever just had like rum and something.
Really?
Yeah. I think in my mind, I'm just like, rum is way too sweet.
Oh, interesting. But. No, I think rum Coke with a splash of lime called a Cuba Libre is like a pretty good drink. And then dark and stormy, you know, rum, a little rum and ginger beer.
I've had a dark and stormy.
That's nice.
That's
a little
good.
Spice rum
oh,
in there.
Oh, that's good.
Dr. Pepper's a mixer. I don't mess with it. All right, at Jeff McCourtney, Spindrift is the ultimate seltzer by a mile. Yes, sir. Agreed. Spindrift is, it's everything I want. It is just a ton of citrus juice.
It's so acidic.
In sparkly water. I know, and
Josh,
I can handle so much acid. That's why my enamel is terrible.
Oh, Josh, it's so acidic. Mm. Sometimes it's too acidic for me.
No, you gotta lean into it. You gotta get the heartburn.
I like LaCroix. I love Spindrift. If it's there, I'll drink it. I love Spindrift.
I had a weird moment the other day where I let a LaCroix kind of sit on my desk for like 20 minutes, and then I took a sip of it, and it was kind of flat, kind of warm. And it just reminded me of drinking like a flat, warm beer at a party.
Mm-hmm.
And it made me almost gag.
Oh.
I like almost gagged on a LaCroix the other day. It was a really weird experience.
There's no, okay, the best like seltzer water or whatever is the San Pellegrino Limoncello or the Blood
Yeah,
Orange.
But that's just soda. That's just,
I like
that's
it.
That's got the sugar in it. It's delicious,
I like
course.
It the most.
It's candy drink. No, Topo Chico is the best.
I don't care for Topo Chico.
You don't care for Topo Chico? I thought I knew you.
It's okay. You don't know nothing. You only know what I
it's
show.
It's the busiest.
You only know what I show.
We're wearing a mask. Halloween's just the day where we decide to show it to others.
I also like Perrier and Pellegrino. I love
Perrier is good.
My mother-in-law always has a bottle of Pellegrino waiting for me.
And Pellegrino's too knows flat. It's not a bubble. I want sharper bubbles.
She knows I love the fizzy bubblech.
The fizzy bubblech. The gassos?
What?
Is it a... I think it's an Armenian brand.
Oh, yeah. The peach one?
Yeah.
I've had it at Mini Kebab. It's really good.
Armenian tarragon soda.
Oh.
That's where it's at.
That's good.
I don't know if we're talking about the best seltzer anymore, but Armenian tarragon soda is a friggin' delight.
You want to know why it's so good? Because after you eat something like heavy or meaty or just heavy, that tarragon soda cuts through all of that. You let out a loud belch and you can go on about your day.
Oh, beautiful.
That's why it's the best.
It's like the way tamarindo jarritos cuts through the tacos.
True.
Oh, soda Hondo pairings. Give me that.
We should do that.
We should
have an episode where we eat the food and then the best complimentary soda to go
Orangina with jambon beurre. Yo, what's that? There's.
I love Orangina.
I love Orangina.
It's the pulp.
It's a pulpy
pulp.
Soda.
We just love pulp, don't we?
But I don't love orange juice with pulp. I love pulpless orange juice, but I love the pulp in Orangina. There's an Italian soda. It's like a little bit bitter. And I'm not going to remember the freaking name of it.
It's not limonata?
It's not limonata, no. It's like a dark soda that's got
We've featured it on GMM before.
We have. Mm-hmm. It is a freaking delight, though. It's got one of those like quinine-y, one of those weird roots that they dug up in the 1800s and put in an aperitif.
Delicious.
That soda would be really good with like, I don't know, I'd chase some pizza with that.
Yeah.
It's just like a darker, danker cola.
Really good.
Ooh, here's a good one.
Mutually Assured Distraction. Great name. I used to eat peanut butter and American cheese sandwiches. You sure did. I understand why you would like this. You know what I mean? I don't like it, but I know why you would like it.
No, I don't love this. I've had it before. Mm-hmm. I've made it. I've tried it grilled. I've tried it plain. It's not my thing. I think it's because the texture of American cheese and peanut butter are too similar.
So similar.
That said, one of my favorite sandwiches, I think you know where I'm going with this, peanut butter, and this has to be crunchy. For whatever reason, this has to be crunchy peanut butter with bananas and mayonnaise. Boom. Banana, mayonnaise, peanut butter. My
that
high school girlfriend.
Freaking disgusting.
Whose parents were from Louisville, Kentucky. And they would eat banana mayonnaise peanut butter sandwiches.
That sounds vomit.
Dude, it's really good. I didn't think it would be good, but it's the salty sweet. Because like peanut butter, people think of it as sweet. And there is sugar added to American peanut butter, but it's really not that much. There's a lot more salt in peanut butter than sugar.
I get that.
I think that's why it works with jelly so well. But that said, you get the extra salty and a little bit of acid from the mayonnaise.
Mm-mm.
Countering the sweet of the banana.
You're
I understand why people would be disgusted by it.
Yeah,
bananas covered in mayonnaise. Bananas. But it is truly one of life's delights. Like, I don't eat it very often. But every time I do, I'm just like, man, this is good food. You start to like rethink your life decisions when you're like spreading mayonnaise on the final piece of bread about to put it down because you're like, this doesn't seem right.
Yeah.
But then it gets in your mouth, and that's good stuff. All right, we got... Here we go. Aaron_Grainy. When I'm sad, I melt chocolate and peanut butter in the microwave and eat it with a spoon. It's amazing. Aaron, why are you sad? You want to talk about it? I mean, we all get sad sometimes.
When I'm sad, you know what's the best thing to do when you're sad?
Huh.
Cry.
Yeah.
Let it out.
I guess. Let it out. I haven't cried in like over a decade.
Oh my God. Do you want to cry together?
I don't think so.
No. Maggie, screw the allergy test. Me and Josh are going to sit in a room and cry together.
You're trying to make me cry?
I'm not going to make you cry. You're going to cry in your own volition.
What's your sad food other than crying? What's your go-to sad food?
I don't have a sad food.
What do you mean you don't have a sad food?
I don't have a sad food.
Of course, everyone has their sad food.
I haven't thought about it.
You talk about eating prosciutto out of the fridge.
Oh, that's it. That's it.
Yeah, that's it.
That's the one.
That's your sad food.
Yeah, that's my sad
food. Yeah, no, mine's peanut butter and jelly. Truly, it is my sad food. It's my comfort food because it's my sad food. And on that note, thank you for... Well, being sad is a natural anyways. On that note, thank you for listening to A Hot Dog is a Sandwich. If you want to hear more from us here in the Mythical Kitchen, we got new episodes for you every Wednesday.
If you want to be featured on Opinions Are Like Casseroles, you can hit us up on Twitter at Mythical Chef or @Henizade with the hashtag Opinion Casserole.
And for more Mythical Kitchen, check us out on YouTube where we launch new videos every week.
And of course, if you want to share pictures of your fabulous dishes, hit us up on Instagram at Mythical Kitchen.
See you next time.